In the name of the one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. I think many of you are already aware of how important music has been to me in my life, but I'm going to run the risk of repeating myself anyway. I was born into a family in which both parents, at various points in their lives, sung in church choirs. And for about 30 years, my father served as an organist at various congregations in and around Lynchburg. Together, Mom and Dad owned a sizable record collection, running the gamut from the Beatles to Brahms, and from light pop to classical organ. Music was always playing in the house. Mom, during the days, listened to her Carly Simon and James Taylor and Neil Diamond. And on the weekends, my father listened to his classical albums, and especially fond of me are memories of him playing classical music during our Sunday lunches. So because music has been so deeply rooted within me, there are many times when I read a particular passage or a particular phrase somewhere, and it instantly triggers a tune or a lyric. Today's passage from Luke is one of those times when the words that we hear are the trigger to start the music. On one hand, the first part of the recollection of Isaiah's words, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," brings to mind the actor David Haskell and the song that he sang at the beginning of the musical Godspell. And then there are the later verses beginning with "Every Valley," then immediately connect me to the music of Handel and the very famous tenor aria from Messiah. In a certain way, even beyond reminding me of particular pieces of music, I view this passage from Luke as being almost lyrical, a song sung by one prophet, Isaiah, that is, and if I may borrow a musical term, sampled in the song sung later by John. The inspired words of these prophets, like any powerful or emotional piece of music, drew people's attention. They got them to sit up and to take notice. They called them to look towards something that was coming. And undoubtedly, they evoked a wide range of emotions. And they alerted the people to be watchful and to wait. Last week, the theme of my sermon was waiting, and specifically in the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, being able to wait. And it's no secret that waiting is the central theme of this Advent season. During the first Advent, more than 2,000 years ago, the people of Israel had already been waiting and waiting and waiting. Their wait for the Messiah that had been promised to them for generations was still lingering in their minds. And yet, despite waiting patiently for all these years, they surely wondered when, if ever, their patience would be rewarded. So now in this passage from Luke and the appearance of John the Baptist, we see the moment where everything pivots and it changes. The wait was drawing to a close. The arrival was now imminent. It was time for urgent action. Simply waiting in and of itself was no longer enough. As they were to witness in the prophetic ministry of John and to be reminded of in the words of Isaiah, the people of Israel were now tasked with not just sitting, but rising and doing something. The song of old now had a new verse. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Advent, which comes as no surprise to any one of you, is a busy time of the year. There are preparations for the multiple worship services throughout the month in which we will welcome stranger and friend alike to this space. There are dinners to plan. There are lengthy shopping lists that call out to us to be completed. Perhaps there are final year-end contributions or gifts that we seek to make to someone. We may even find ourselves at random moments reflecting on all the things that we wanted to do over the course of the year and yet somehow never got to. And so now we're using this month of Advent to try and rush and finish everything on the list so that we can feel that sense of accomplishment. But today, on this second Sunday of Advent, the important thing to focus on is this first adult appearance of John. And he will ask something completely different from anything we've been asked before. John interrupts our schedules and demands that preparations of a different type be made. As he did with those who heard him all those centuries ago, John is calling for our repentance. Essentially, he's calling for us to reorient ourselves. For this one man crying out to us from the bleak and barren wilderness, the call to us is one urging us to turn away from sin and to turn back to God. We're being challenged to eliminate the crooked roads, the valleys, and the peaks, to make it much easier for God to enter our lives and dwell in our hearts. In this season, though, it doesn't necessarily even have to be sin that we are being called to turn from. It could be turning back to a friend or a family member we might have been avoiding in order to make that first step to healing the relationship. Perhaps we're being called to turn to someone who is suffering in the world and from whom until now we have turned away, responding to others in the world, crying out from the depths of their own personal wilderness. Perhaps our hearts are blocked by long-lasting anger or pain or grief, feelings that we are holding on to so tightly that unless we let them go, God cannot enter in and the Holy Spirit cannot work through us. Our lives are our songs. And I pray the words of Isaiah and the call of John inspire us all to the spirit of reorientation, to cast aside the brokenness or the grief or the sorrow, and to drop those things that we're holding so tightly in our arms, and to free our arms to embrace the God who is reaching out to us. I pray that we're each inspired to add new verses or to come up with a better tune for our lives. Yes, we will spend time with what we write in our personal songs, battling mightily against the valleys and the mountains and the crooked roads of our lives. But even as important as it is that we try and overcome these obstacles, we should not at any point leave them behind. They're important parts of our personal journeys and our narratives. They are the raw material that God seizes and reshapes and builds upon. They are the notes our Creator uses to write our songs. And no matter how flawed the lines may be, the prophets and all who came before us continue to remind us that it is at the end of the day God who writes the everlasting refrain, "All flesh shall see the salvation of God." Amen.